Pin earlier, part of a psalm came to mind just before we start the word, and it was Psalm 27. Psalm 27, it says, David's song of confidence. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though an host shall encamp about against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall arise against me, in this I will be confident." David was confident in his God. He was confident in the God of his salvation. And that's what's come through today in the choruses. I'd left one out. It says, "I am a new creation. I am a brand new man. Man as not in just men, but man as mankind. Old things are passed away. Gone. Finished. I've been born again. I'm more than a conqueror." It's nice when you start quoting Bible in choruses. More than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror. Conqueror's good. But more than a conqueror. That's who I am. That's who you are. More than conquerors. You're a new creation. You're a brand new man. The old is gone. That day he said, "Jesus, come into my life." That was the start. I've got friends who, Christian friends, who their real birthday is gone, and they just celebrate their new birthday. And that's the only one they celebrate. And it goes on to say this chorus, "Because of you, I live in victory. Because of you, I've been set free." Set free not just to do your own thing, which God will let you do your own thing if you want to, but he's set you free for a task, for a reason. He's set you free. He's got a task, a job for you to do, individually. And you are the only one that can do that job for him. "I'm redeemed. I'll live eternally. And we've promised a house, a mansion." We could do with a mansion at the moment, couldn't we, my dear? We're a bit squashed. "Jesus, I'm blessed in all I do." That takes a little bit more faith. But it says we are. It says in the Word we are. "I'm blessed in all I do. Because of you." Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. If that's the only thing you remember today, take that chorus away with you. I was listening to a CD, and it started off, it was a Christian CD from Jerry Seville, and it was one of his, because he's got quite a good sense of humour, I like Jerry, and he started off, his opening title was, "Who'd like to have a stress-free life?" And it immediately gets everybody's attention. Who'd like to have a stress-free life? Hands up. Yes, they all like to have a stress-free life. Right, but that's what Christianity is all about, should be. We should be living a stress-free life. We put ourselves under stress with the jobs that we do, don't we, Ellen? Under stress. She's never been under stress. She just tells them what to do at work. And they do it. But we do. We can put ourselves under a lot of stress. I'm a great one for that. I'd like things just to work right. Coming out of engineering, things have just got to work, and if they're not, I take them to pieces and make them work that way and put them back, and then I've wasted a half a day or a week or something. Sometimes 2 weeks. But we can live a stress-free life. And the title of it today is, "Who's Your Shepherd?" Who's your shepherd? So we're still in Psalms. We're going to just turn back to Psalm 23. The psalm that usually gets read at funerals. The psalm that, it's a nice psalm at funerals, but it's wasted at funerals because it's a psalm for the living. It's a psalm for the living. David was really enthusiastic when he wrote this. And I can just imagine that he was really enthusiastic when he spoke this out or sang this out, because of course these were songs. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But it's just the opening line. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He was bold enough to stand there and say, "This is what I think, this is what I know." And looking into this, I can't find out when he wrote it. There's no, whether it was early in his life, later on. But to actually write something like this, you've got to have a vast experience. So I would think it's going to be late on in his life when he can say that, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Looking back on his life, "I didn't want for anything. The Lord took care of me. Even when he promised me that I'd be king, and it was some 20 years later he became king." That God doesn't always fulfil his promises immediately. He doesn't always fulfil them the way we want them fulfilling. He fulfilled them his way and in his time. So David was a shepherd, the son of a shepherd. So he knew all about being a shepherd and shepherd things. I know nothing about shepherd things apart from the sheep and the other staff, but I don't know what they do. But David knew all about this. And so I thought, well, we need to, what is a shepherd? What do you think a shepherd is? What's a shepherd? What's it there for? Look after sheep. Protect them. Cares for the flock, right. So he cares, he protects. He leads them to water, he leads them to the good pasture. And it's just a picture of God. It's just, he's using that picture of what he knows, what the people knew at that time, to say, "This is your God. This is what God's doing for you. He's leading you. He's given you everything you need. He's given you the best. He brought you into a land, into houses, and even the meals were on the table," I believe it says, ready for them when they originally walked into the land. They just walked into the house, sat down and ate a meal that somebody cooked who'd run off or been killed or whatever. And they sat down to that meal. Everything was taken care of. Not Luke's coming. So David, in this psalm, is not looking at being a shepherd, but he's a sheep. He's talking from the sheep's point of view. I'm a sheep, he says. We're sheep. And he's saying, "Who do you think my shepherd is? Who do you think my shepherd is?" You just imagine thinking that when Goliath was stood on that hill. "Well, I know who's in charge. I know who's in charge of all this." And of course, God's his shepherd. God is the shepherd. He's the one that can say, "God's my shepherd, I won't want for anything. He's got everything for me." Jesus also used natural stories, fishermen, what have I written down? Parable of the sower, and he used the fisher of men. He used parables, he used stories to get over a spiritual or a supernatural teaching via a natural way, so that people understood. It's no use going too technical, because people won't understand it. In school, you don't rabbit on about the theory of this and the theory of that, the theory of that, to year threes. You've got to bring it down to their level, things they understand. And Jesus said, okay, I'll bring it down, I'll teach you the way that you understand. And David was doing the same. And this would have been sung hundreds, thousands of times, maybe tens of thousands of times, this psalm, as a hymn. And people would get it ingrained into their mind that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Are you ready, Luke? Luke's made some drinks, so if you like a water or a pop, just let him know as you pass. So we said that David probably wrote this in later life, because it's full of wisdom. And it shows he's been through a lot, and he can actually teach us a lot, because God was his carer, his guardian. It's not a sorrowful psalm, it's a joyful psalm. Got to look, guess who my shepherd, my guardian is? The Lord, the God, the creator of heaven and earth. And God will never let you down. He didn't let David down. And David, we can use as a forerunner. Jesus took him as an example. We can take him as an example. We can say, well, if it was good enough for David, it's good enough for us. We can put our name in there. The Lord is Graham's shepherd. Graham shall not want. Put your name in there. Make it personal. He will not let you down. And we said earlier, he might not do it in our time frame or the way we'd like it, but he always shows up with the goods. Always shows up on time. He's faithful. He's faithful. When I said, asked Luke, I said, would you go and make some drinks, Luke? Watch that, Luke. I had a good idea that Luke would be faithful enough to go and do that task. And that when God asks us to do something, he expects us to be faithful. And likewise, when we bring our request to him, that he is faithful. He can't do any other. That's just a wash with pop, that's all. He's always behind the scenes helping, isn't he, Luke? Even in the little things, he helps you, doesn't he, Luke? Yeah. Well, that, yeah, Dean's just reminded, Luke went for an audition for a new band with Rotherham Music, and it was so hot that he couldn't stand his glasses on any longer, so he took his glasses off, and he was playing fine, and then they said, oh, we'll do some sight reading, and he forgot to put his glasses back on, but you know, he did it perfectly. Oh, God must have intervened there. So he did get in, so he got an offer of a position there, didn't he? So he must have read it correctly. Oh, they were just laughing as well. But David is saying, don't you know who your shepherd is? You need to know who your shepherd is. You need to know his name. You need to know him. Not know about him, but know your shepherd. The one you look to. The one you look to, the faithful one, the God of the universe. Not just some little God, not some of the ones we have to teach in school, but the God with a big G. Not the one with a little G. It's the God with a big G. He's the God that's over above all the other gods. David said, he's enough for me. He fulfills all my desires, my dreams. He's done everything for me. But the destiny of a shepherd, no, the destiny of a sheep, I should say, depends upon the shepherd. So, it does say in here, let's have a look, the Lord is my shepherd. No, it's not that one. I've got all my notes mixed up. Top day, see, mine goes funny. The destiny of the sheep depends on the shepherd. So you need a good shepherd. If you don't get a good shepherd, you're not going to get good teaching. You're not going to get good guidance. You're not going to get good food. You're not going to get the best. So evidently there is an opposite to this. There is a bad shepherd who will lead you down the garden path and starve you to death, basically. You'll die. And we all know who that one is. Just look into your soul. It's down there. There's a bad shepherd. Yeah, just snap on his head. That will lead you astray. But the good shepherd, he's kind, he's generous, he's faithful. His sheep are well looked after. He's protective. And there was, I think it must have been in one of the footnotes in one of the Bibles, it was saying that in Jewish culture, it's accepted that a union will form between the shepherd and his sheep. He will get to know them. He will know his sheep. He'll know them intimately. So like the story where they got 100 sheep and 99 were fine, the one wandered off. It's that idea he's using again. That the shepherd left the 99, knew they were safe, he'd put them in a good place, and he went off looking for the one that was lost. Because he'd got this union with the sheep, he could tell when his sheep were not well, he could tell when his sheep this, and the sheep evidently knew their shepherd. As he called, they would follow. They would get to know his smell. And probably would smell, being a shepherd among sheep. But they would know him. They would know the one who was going to lead them to good pasture and for safety. And they would not follow the one, they would not follow the wrong smell, the wrong person. We too have got to take this analogy on and follow the right shepherd. Follow the one in the Bible. The one that says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, we were laid in the grass yesterday, watching a cricket match. And we were in a green patch. It was funny that, because we were laid there and it was lovely and green. And it was quite wet actually and damp. But this psalm came to mind again. Just laid in the green pastures. But it means more than that. It means he will provide everything you need. Green pastures, the sheep need the grass. I don't like grass to eat particularly. And green signifies life, yeah. Green, it gives you all that you need for your life. He leads me beside still waters. He doesn't send you down the side of a roaring torrent, you know, and he says, drink out of that. 1 foot in and you've gone. Beautiful, still, clean, clear, cool water. Still water, just everything you need. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Puts me in right standing with his Father, Jesus. We're in right standing with him. As soon as you made Jesus the Lord of your life. So Jehovah provides, he protects, he guides. He's an unfailing companion. He's there all the time. We might not feel it. At times we might feel a million miles away from him. And I can put my hand up to that one. But he is still there. He's still working behind the scenes. Let's have a look at another psalm. Psalm 27. Well, we just looked at that one, haven't we? The Lord is my light, my salvation. It's the little word is. It's not it's going to be. It's not it might be. Could be. Probably. He is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. When you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, he is. It's happened. He is going to. It is happening. And same in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength. He is. And it's interesting to go through actually and look up all that God is. God is us. Or the Lord is. It's a good study to go through and look those. And put your name in there. God is my, God is Joan's refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So I know that she doesn't sail through life without trouble, dear Joan. No, none of us do. But the word here says that God is a refuge and strength, a very present help for Joan, for Zena, for Helen, for them lot, the troublesome three. Yeah, put them under pressure this week and last week. David is trying to reveal to us about his God, or our God. It's his God, but he's trying to say it can be your God as well. It's your God. David knew his God. He knew his God, I should say, not just knew about him. He hadn't just read this, or he hadn't just heard about, oh, there's this big God who can do all these fantastic things. No, he knew him. He spent time with him. He spent time talking to him. He spent time working with God. Because it's better working with him than working against him. And it's better doing it, Luke. It's better doing it his way rather than your way. Because you struggle again, you just fight. And like with Jobs, I've just left it to him. Said, that's it, I'm not applying for any more. You ring me up. You haven't rung me yet. But it's trust. It's trust. So we know that God is good. He's our personal shepherd. It's personal to us. Because he knows each one of us personally. He formed each one of us, it tells us earlier in the Bible. He knew us before we were formed. We're each different, we're each unique. There's only one of you.
Thank goodness.
There's only one. They threw them all the way then. It's true though, each one's a unique, yeah. Unique person. We're all different. We all meet different people. We don't all do the same thing. We're not clones. We all do different things. We all got different giftings. Yep. Mine was never one to stand up here. But no, I didn't. No. I used to like sit on the back row. And then suddenly they moved the back row to the front. So God is our personal God. He's our personal shepherd. He's our God. He says so. Let's get the my into your relationship with God. He's my God. He's your God. You could say that, couldn't you, Danny? He is my... Go on, you say it.
He's my God.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's my God. Well done. You didn't think that when you stood there earlier, though, did you? You didn't think that when you were stood there earlier, though? Because it put you under the... to do something different, to meet a need while other people have to take on other needs and jobs while different people are away. He might be busy because he's got a lot to do, God, holding everything together, sorting this problem out, sorting that problem out, and he's got a lot of a universe that somebody on the telly was saying on the other night, we only know 4% of what's happening in the universe. We don't know what the other 96% of the universe is about. They don't know much, do they? They don't know much. So he's busy because he knows the other 96% and he's sorting it all out, holding it all together, making it work. But he's not too busy to listen to your request. When you're at the end of it all and you say, that's it, finish, you sort it out. He says, my goodness, thank goodness you've decided to let me sort it out now. We'll get on with it. I just say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right, come on, we're all going to say that now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. See, you can do. Not easy, not difficult. The Lord shall supply all your needs, my needs, through his riches in glory. Because he's my shepherd. And he's the good shepherd. He will supply all your needs. And it also says somewhere, I can't think where now, but wants as well. Wants come in there. But needs come first. I can't remember where it is. But needs, he will meet all those needs. But he says the other things, that I'll meet them as well. And he knows what you need. We are the object. He's the object. We are the object of his love and affection. He's formed us intimately. He's made us in his image, we're told. Made us in his image. Put his spirit into us. Like he did into Adam. He's made us individually. Geraldine. Hello. Hi. We were just talking about it, but we'll stop now. Yeah. Psalm 8. Just going to have a look at Psalm 8 now. You know I'm only pulling your leg, Geraldine, don't you? Good. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read it from the Amplified this time. When I view and consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the sun, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained and established, what is man that you are mindful of him, and that the son of earth-born man, that you care for him? Then it goes over onto 5. It says, for thou hast made him a little lower than, and that's a mistake if it says angels, it should be God. For you've made us a little lower than God. So we're above the angels, but we're a little lower than God. And he's mindful of us. He knows every little detail about you. He knows all the problems you're having at school, Daniel and Luke, and all the settling in you have in Jonathan, your new job. He knows all about that. He knows all about the little things that nobody else knows about. All the little things that you've never told anybody. He says, but I know. But you don't have to tell anybody else. It's just because I can deal with them. I'll deal with them for you. Another analogy is he's the potter. And we're that lump of clay that he's moulding. And sometimes it, well, mine does when I do it, and mine drops off the wheel. I go, and it goes like that. I know. But he never gets it off centre. See, he's moulding it. If we try and do it, as Ellen says, it goes off centre, it starts wobbling, it breaks, it falls off, it splits, it cracks. But God is the potter. Where the clay is forming us. Why? Because he wants to. Because he doesn't see us now. He didn't. When we became born again, when we were, that day that we came in such a mess, and he said, great, welcome on board, and he didn't see what you were, he said, but I can see what you're going to be, because he says, I can see the end from the beginning, I can see what you're going to be in the end. He said, don't worry, just a few little tweaks and turns and chop a bit off here, and we'll soon have you sorted out, don't worry about it. Because he wants us. He wants us as he sees us at the end. He doesn't see all the bits in between. Because we're covered by that precious blood of Jesus. Covered in that white garment. Or if you look in Peter, you're called a peculiar people. Peculiar. But this peculiar means a special treasure. So you're a special treasure. It doesn't mean peculiar as we think of peculiar. Bit funny. But in the original Hebrew it means special treasure. You're a special treasure to God. Hallelujah. Special treasure. Not just a treasure. Special. Hallelujah. Diamonds and things everywhere. So Peter, Paul and David were all trying to say that you're loved by the creator of the universe. You're loved by him. He's not too busy to take care of you. He's got lots of time. He's always where you need to be. Don't know how he does it. That's not our problem to know. He's always there. He's always there to sort it out on time. It doesn't matter which part of the world you whiz off to. He's always there with you. He's fantastic. Never leaves you behind. You can't beat him. He's always got there before you. A lot of the time he's sorted out the problems before you get there. In fact, some of the problems you never knew existed. Because this is salvation. This is the ongoing work that is done through the cross. Oh, it's John 10:11 I was going to look at. It says, I am the good shepherd. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. That's what Jesus said. Let's have a look at it then. I knew I'd written it down somewhere. There's no air today, can I? Graham will blow on you if you're hot. For a price. It says, John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's how much a good shepherd will. To save the sheep, to save the flock, he will give his life. And Jesus did. He gave his life. Not only to save us, as Daniel was saying there, but to heal us as well. We were healed on the cross, weren't we? We were healed on the cross. So I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. His life. Would you give your life for some sheep? Silly looking things really, aren't they? But if that's your calling, to be a shepherd. We redeemed from the slave owner called Satan because Jesus demonstrated his love for us on the cross. Just said that love on the cross that covered us from the tops of our heads to the soles of our feet in that precious blood. It gave us a new life. It healed all our diseases. Hallelujah. And that's in Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We were talking about on Wednesday. And we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all of us. That's Jesus. He's laid on the iniquity. Jesus, all our iniquity, all our wrongdoings, all our evil. In the beginning of time was put on Jesus. He took it and he cast it away and he beat Satan and he took the keys off him. We joint heirs with him, we're told in the word. Joint heirs with Jesus. We sit on the right hand of the throne with him. He wants to and he's willing to provide a better life for us. Or has provided a better life for us. We've just got to start reading the word, accepting the word, accepting what it says. And I haven't got there. I'm one of the prime candidates at the moment, just to keep taking the word and keep, well, if that's what it says, that's what it must mean. Don't know how you're going to do it, but do it, please, quickly, like today, next 5 minutes. But it's never late, never early. But it's never late because it's in his time. Hebrews Hebrews 7. This is why he wants to. This is what Jesus is doing for us all the time. While we've been sat here roasting, sweating, perspiring, this has been happening. Hebrews 7 verse 27, that's why I can't find it, looking at the wrong one. Therefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Or in the Amplified it says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternally, those who come to God through him, since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. So he's making petition and intervening for us all the time while we've been sat here. He knows what's around the corner, we don't. He's interceding on our behalf. And Psalm 34, I know we're whizzing around a bit today, but Psalm 34 verses 4 to 10, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, O you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Hallelujah. But they that seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. You've only got to seek God. Seek him. Seek means look for him, talk to him, find him. We just make it very difficult. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David was saying, I'm satisfied with this God. So when will we stop worrying? And when we're going to get on and let him do his job, basically? For he's our provider, he's our companion, he's our protector. So Psalm 86 verse 8 says, there's none like our God. He is the God, none like our God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read this little bit off the bottom of this sheet I found about the Psalm 23, and it says, as you read the remainder of Psalm 23, or you can reread Psalm 23, you'll discover that he loves you so much that he's willing to go to any length to provide it. He'll provide green pastures when it seems stale and boring. He'll provide still waters in the midst of storms. He'll provide restoration to our soul when we've been discouraged. He'll provide direction when we seem to have lost our way. He'll provide comfort when fear is trying to overtake us. He'll provide nourishment and strength when the enemy is attacking us. He'll provide the anointing when our burdens seem too heavy. And he'll provide goodness and mercy just to let us know that we're going to make it. Now that's love. When you know God truly loves you, then you'll be able to declare as boldly as David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So reread Psalm 23. It's a powerful psalm. It's a short psalm. It's a psalm that's been used, I say, for the dead, but it's a psalm for the living. And it can answer a lot of questions just by reading and meditating on that psalm. Thank you for listening.